It's Andy Parks live from the Washington Times on 7:30 a.m., 102.9 FM, WTNT, and I'm joined by Washington Times national reporter Ben Wolfgang. Hello, Ben. How are you?
I'm doing great, Andy. How are you?
I'm doing just wonderful. A Keystone decision will define Obama's record on climate change. It doesn't seem like all that long ago we were talking about this pending decision. Are we getting closer?
Well, it's tough to say whether or not we're getting closer. I mean, certainly, I think those in the oil and gas industry, as well as those in the environmental movement, think that he's going to make a decision probably sometime shortly after the new year. So, needless to say, both sides are starting to ramp up their pressure on him to, from the oil and gas company's perspective, to get him to approve the Keystone Pipeline, from the environmental community's perspective, to get him to reject it and probably kill the project once and for all. But, yeah, to answer your question, I think we probably are getting closer. I would expect to see a decision in the first half of 2013.
Mm-hmm. Going to be tough for him to say yes, especially after indicating he had great concerns over global warming, as an example, in the Northeast storms recently. I mean, you sort of got the impression he's leaning back toward this whole climate change thing and green energy. So I don't know what to expect. Do you?
No, I don't. And it's going to be very fascinating to watch, because I think this is one of the most unpredictable decisions that he's going to have to make in his second term, because there really are compelling cases, you know, at least from the environmentalist perspective, they have a compelling case, of which way he should go on this. And Obama has sort of straddled the fence and made statements himself that would support either decision that he makes. For example, of course, you remember during the campaign, he talked a lot about increased oil and natural gas drilling at home, talked a lot about North American energy independence and how his administration was committed and would remain committed to that in a second term. On the other hand, as you point out, particularly in the latter part of his campaign, and certainly in his victory speech after he was reelected, he resurrected climate change and global warming, which had sort of been absent from his campaign, but he brought those up again and promised they would be part of a second term, a second Obama administration. So the question is going to be, which way does he go? The Keystone Pipeline, nobody can argue, even the harshest environmental critics can't argue that it would create jobs, and it would certainly help the U.S. You know, get more North America energy out of those oil sands in Canada. So it would, the Obama administration's true goal is to create jobs, to jumpstart the economy, and also to promote North American energy independence. That would lead you to believe that he'll approve it. But when he keeps talking about climate change and global warming, and there's rumblings now about a carbon tax, some sort of cap and trade deal being resurrected, if he's going to go that route, it would lead you to believe that he's going to reject it. So I don't know where to put my money on this right now.
Yeah, and he's got the other side, the, you know, he's got the labor problem, too, in that there are unions that would benefit from this labor that would go into this pipeline, both building it and maintaining it. And let's face it, the unions contributed a great deal of money to his reelection.
Right, right, to make the situation even more complicated. You're absolutely right. There are tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of jobs, really, at least in the construction phase of this project, that would be created almost immediately. Because let's not forget, TransCanada, the company that's proposing this project, they're essentially ready to go for the most part. I mean, if the president were to sign off on this, most of the environmental studies and impact studies that have had to be done, both from the U.S. perspective and also from Canada's perspective, as well as states like Nebraska, where the pipeline would run through, most of those are done. So if he were to say yes to the Keystone Pipeline, construction could begin pretty quickly, within a matter of months, maybe a year. So if you're trying to create jobs, and certainly that's, at least on their face, what the unions would like to see, then this would be a great way to go for the president.
Mm-hmm. Environmentalist's biggest argument is what? Is it the route that's problematic, or is it a danger of spillage? I mean, what is it? Do we know?
Well, that's a great question, because up until recently, the main argument had simply been that the route that is being proposed, which could go through the sand hills of Nebraska and could potentially pass over water aquifers and what have you, that was typically what you heard from groups like the Natural Resources Defense Council or the Sierra Club or other environmental groups. But something that I've kind of picked up on recently, and there was, as you know, a major demonstration in front of the White House on Sunday. There were press conferences yesterday with environmental groups. And the point that they're making now is a much larger point related to President Obama's overall record on climate change. They're saying that if he were to approve the Keystone Pipeline, all the other things that he's done, for the environment as they see it, whether it be the CAFE standards for automobiles, whether it be these millions and millions of dollars of taxpayer investments into wind and solar and other green energy, they're now arguing that all of that would essentially be wiped out, that the Keystone Pipeline, just because of the increased carbon that would be released by these oil sands being produced and eventually being used, that would balance out and cancel out everything else that the president has done on the issue of climate change and on the issue of the environment. So now they're putting pressure on him, not just from the perspective of, hey, this could potentially harm somebody's water or could, be unsightly or could harm farmlands or what have you. Now they're putting this in a much larger context, saying this is essentially the one decision. It's the ball game for the president, if you will, when it comes to climate change.
You know, what's so funny about this whole argument is that a lot of these same people complain nonstop about our dependence on the Middle East and,
right.
the price of oil and, we invade countries over this oil and it's so funny because now we have an example of North America being capable of eventually becoming energy independent and a lot faster than I ever thought.
Within about a decade.
That's yeah.
Right. That's right.
So why not go for it?
Yeah, well, that's a good question. And of course, if you talk to these environmental groups, they would like to see, as you said, they would like to see North America and the U.S. become energy independent, but they'd like to see it done through, massive investments, even more so than we've already seen, into wind and solar power and into biofuels and electric batteries for cars and that sort of thing. Now, of course, when you sit down and look at the numbers and you start to realize how much of our electricity comes from coal, almost 40%, how much of our electricity comes from natural gas, almost 40%, and you start to put some of those numbers into context and really look at it, there is absolutely no way that we could make up what we're burning now in fossil fuels with increased wind and solar power any time in the foreseeable future, and I mean the next 50 to 60 years.
Yeah.
So, they try to have it, I guess, in a sense, try to have it both ways, but the data tells a much different story.
Yeah. All right. I'm going to sit back and watch. Hopefully within a few weeks we'll have an answer to all of this, and who knows? I guess your guess is as good as mine. We'll just have to wait and see.
That's right.
Yep. All right, Ben, have a great holiday. Thanks.
Thanks a lot, Andy. Bye-bye.
Ben Wolfgang, Washington Times national reporter, 425, 730 a.m., 102.9 FM, WTNT. It's Andy Parks, live from the Washington Times.